Everything Matters 2.0 is what we've been talking about. So before we get into today, would you at North Campus help me to welcome all the other campuses that are joining with us today? We're so excited that you're there today. We believe that there was a purpose for your being there today. And so whatever campus you're at today, thanks for being there. I know there's already been a time of worship. Let me just celebrate campus-wide. Last week, we baptized 55 people and had over 2,600 people in the house. So let's celebrate that all across the campuses today. We are excited about that. Your pastor may have shared with you, but I need to share with this house, so let me share with you. Beginning September the 8th, we are getting ready to relaunch our Love and Truth University, LTU. It's a two-part deal. The first part of it is 10 weeks, which begins on September the 8th. There are these registration forms with more information available today as you leave whatever campus you're at, and just go by and get one of these. But if you want to grow in your leadership, if you want to grow in your faith, and if you want to grow in your ministry, LTU is one of the greatest places that you can do that in. And so we're relaunching it on September the 8th, so you got about a month to get involved in it. And then for those of you who've been through the first 10 weeks of it, you say, when are we going to do the second week? That's our second part. That's going to launch in January. So if you're waiting on part two, but if you haven't been through any of it, get in this first part and let's see what God can do through your life to make a difference in so many other people's lives. Let's pray together today. Heavenly Father, we're grateful today that you have loved us so much and that you have given unto us, the Bible says, exceeding great and precious promises. And so we come today and our hearts are ready to receive. And we just pray, Lord, today that there's no barrier or hindrances in any of our lives today that would keep us from hearing how much you love us. Open our ears to hear your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. A couple of little boys are playing in the afternoon one day after dinner, and you know how little boys can be, don't you? So mom and dad are in there. They're in the family room, and mom and dad are doing things that mom and dads do at that point of the day, and that is the dishes are done, the day's kind of closing out, and you know in a little bit you're going to be putting them to bed. But before that, you want just a couple of minutes of peace and quiet so you can, you know, check your Facebook or watch a football game or whatever it is you're going to do. And so mom and dad really aren't paying a whole lot of attention, but kind of as you do as parents, you've learned to listen on two tracks, right? You're doing what you're doing, but you're also got this ear. And so these two little boys are playing, and before very long, they start talking about what's going to happen. And so they're saying, you know what, tomorrow we're going to go with mom. She's going to take us. We're going to get to go to the toy store. And they're all excited about that. They're just pumped about it. And all of a sudden, one of them looks at the other and says, well, how much money you got? And the other one says, well, I don't know how much you got. And so they run into their rooms, they come back out, and you know little boys, they don't keep things nice, do they? Right? It's all rumpled up. They got it stuffed in things. They're untying stuff. They're pulling things apart. They dump it all on the floor, and they start counting. And all of a sudden, you know, they're counting their money, and you see this one over here. Mom and dad now are paying a little bit more of attention because they're trying to figure out what's going on. And what is interesting about it is that when they get done counting, both boys have exactly $10. And so they start talking about what they're going to buy, and the one looks at them and says, well, how much money you got? Just like a little boy, right? And the other one says, well, I got $10. And the one who asked the question first is now asked, well, how much money you got? And he says, I got $20. Now, mom and dad are a little more interested at this point because they've taught little Johnny not to lie. And they saw the money being counted, and both of them had $10. And so his brother looks at him and says, Johnny, you always lie. I saw you count it out. You got $10. And Johnny goes, uh-uh. Come on, you can hear this conversation. Uh-uh. I got 20. And they get into a little intimate fellowship for a moment or two, and they're wrestling on the floor like little boys do. And mom and dad are kind of watching it, and so dad goes over and kind of separates them and says, boys, calm down. And mom says to Johnny, we saw you only counted out $10. He goes, I got 20. And she says, son, I we've taught you not to lie. Why are you lying? He said, Mom, I'm not lying. I've got $20. She said, well, explain it to me. And he said, Dad told us tonight at supper that before he left to go to work tomorrow, he was going to give each of us $10. So I've got $20. See, in your life and in my life, we've been made some promises. And what we've got to do is we've got to come to the place. In fact, promises are predicated on a couple of things. First of all, promises are predicated on the person who makes the promise. And little Johnny knew that if Daddy said he was giving him $10, he had learned in his short life that Dad was going to come through. The other thing that it's predicated on, though, is whether or not that I really believe. Because in this story, one little boy has got faith. And one little boy is kind of like some of us. He's from the show me state. He says, I'm from Missouri. I got to see it first. And here's the deal, and let me set this up and we'll get in the word today. If you're here today and you're one of those people that says, you know, I got to see it first, what that means to me is this, is that you've been hurt and you can't trust because somebody lied to you. A parent, a guardian, somebody in your life told you, this is what I'm going to do. And instead of doing what they told you they were going to do, they did something different. And when you hear a promise, you're always waiting to see whether or not it's going to come through. But I want to talk to you today about a father who can't lie. And if he says he's going to do something, I promise you, he's always going to do it. Amen. Let's read a little bit in the scripture. The book of Acts is the time that Jesus is getting ready to ascend back into the heavenlies, and it's at this moment that he is in the reference here, he's met with them and he's talking with them, and it says in verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father, do you see that next word? Promised. That my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and they gathered around him and they began to ask him all kind of questions, and they said, Lord, are you going to do this? You're going to do that? And he said, listen, here's what you do. He said, you go wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. See, the Bible says this about God, and some of you need to know this today, and that is that God is not man and he cannot lie. If he ever says he is going to do something, he is going to do it. In the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, mankind commits the ultimate act of betrayal and walks away from what God told him to do. God shows up in the cool of the day after Adam and Eve have sinned. And the scripture says that in that moment after they have sinned, that God made a promise. And that promise was that one day he was going to send a Savior. One day Messiah was going to come. Thousands of years go by and they have not seen it. And every generation is waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. Every generation is saying, when is this promise going to be fulfilled? But the book of Matthew tells us that there came a day where an angel appeared to a young handmaiden, a young girl, and said to her, Mary, you're highly favored. You're going to bring forth the very Son of God into this earth. And in that moment, the promise that God had made 4,000 years before now comes into reality, and 9 months later, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And so we see the promise now beginning to be fulfilled, but what we understand is that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise in Genesis chapter 3. But Jesus talks time and time again in his ministry about a promise that his Father is making that's even greater than that promise. And that's what I want to share with you today. I want to talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus told us was a promise for us. See, when you begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, some people get a little freaky, they get a little mystical, they get a little weird. But what I want to say to you is that God has a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. And it includes the power of His Spirit. The Word of God says this about this Holy Spirit that's going to come into my life and into your life when we understand how to move in everything that God has. John the 14th chapter, verse 16 and 17 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." Ever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, right? See, he said there's an advocate coming. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? It means there's a counselor, there's a helper, there is an intercessor that's coming to help you to live out, to fulfill everything that God has for your life. Here's what's so wonderful about God. God doesn't tell us to be good and this just leaves us alone. God tells us to be good and then he comes along and helps us to be good. God says, this is how I want you to live. These are the things that I want you to do. And then he comes along and says, oh yeah, and by the way, let me help you do them. John the 14th chapter, verse 18 through 20, he goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you're going to see me because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize, look at what he said, that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Here's what he's saying. He's saying when the Holy Spirit comes, it's an indwelling in your life. That in that moment, you become, the Bible says, the very temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the habitation of where God dwells and where he lives. And it's in that moment that you are set apart to the fullness that God has called you to live in when his Spirit comes to dwell inside of you. John the 14th chapter, verse 26. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but I want you to see it. He says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. He said, get it. I'm going to do that. In other words, I'm sending you a teacher, and that teacher is going to reveal to you. He's going to remind you, and he is going to lead you. The great thing about the power of the Spirit of God is that when it comes into your life, it reminds you, it helps you, it teaches you, it takes you into everything that God has. And yet for a lot of us, we have settled for less than everything that God has. In fact, let me ask this question today of all of you that are here. Even you may not be a Christ follower at this point, but you say, you know, one day I think I want to be. Let me ask you this question. Both you here and those at the campuses participate with me. How many of you would say today, I want everything God has for my life? Would you hold your hand up? See, I think that's all of us. I really believe that there's nobody, if you understand that God is good, and he wants to give good things to his kids, I don't think anybody would say, nah, I'll just pass, right? How many of you know that little Johnny there in the story wasn't going to get up the next morning and say, oh, Dad, I don't really want that $10. In fact, if he's like most kids, he's going to say, Dad, you got any more money? You got anything else you can give me, right? In fact, I see a $100 bill in there. Would you share that with me today? Right? It's always that in our life. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about in this series, we talked about a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus and asked him a question about how to be saved, how to get in the kingdom. And Jesus used a term, and he said, you've got to be born again. And we talked about how that natural birth and spiritual birth parallel one another. That there's a moment of conception. There's a moment of life. There's a moment when you come to Jesus Christ and life begins at that moment. But you can't stay at that place, even in the natural. That seed and that egg that's come together, it's got to move. It's got to get into the womb because it's in the womb that it's going to be sustained. It's going to grow. It's going to be nourished from that mother in its womb. That we talked about how that the church is the mother, and that once you come to revelation of who Jesus is and come to that place of giving your life to Jesus, that you need to be in the church because it's there that you're going to gain strength. It's there you're going to grow. And we talked about how that baby breaks forth out of that water and how that baptism is a symbol of that. And again, last week, 55 people were baptized in water at Love and Truth campuses, and we're so excited about that and so thrilled to know that so many people made that decision today. And again, all of you that did that, congratulations. We're excited about that part of your journey with God. But we also talked about the one thing that everybody's waiting on, from the doctor to the nurse to mom and dad, is to hear that baby to breathe in and for breath to come in. The word breath in Scripture is pneuma, and it refers to the Holy Spirit. And so for us to reach the full potential that God has for us, not only do I need to be in relationship with the Lord, not only do I need to be baptized in water, and yes, can I say this one more time in this series? Yes, you do need to be baptized if you have given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. But also, there's a promise of the Father called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist talked about it. In fact, in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, the 11th verse, he said, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he said, but after me there's coming one who is more powerful than I, and I'm not even worthy to take his sandals off of his feet. And he said, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's interesting to me, when you study the Gospels, what you will find is that sometimes you will find a certain thing talked about in one or two of the Gospels, maybe three of the Gospels. It is interesting to me that all four Gospels records these words of John the Baptist. Matthew records them, Mark 1 and 8 records it, Luke 3 and 16 records it, John 1:33 records these words that John the Baptist said, there's coming one who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, the Apostle Peter talking about the encounter with Cornelius that we talked about last week that I won't reiterate, but you can go and download it and listen. He says this once he gets back to those who are in Jerusalem, Acts 11:16. He said, then I remember what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so there is this whole aspect throughout Scripture where time and time again, the whole thing is talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Pastor, why is the baptism in the Holy Spirit important? Well, first of all, can I just say it this way? Because Jesus told us we were going to get it. That makes it pretty important. I mean, think about this. Jesus is taking the last few moments of his time here upon this earth before his ascension, and he's talking about the promise of the Father. Now, how many of you know if it's the last time you're ever going to see the people who are closest to you, you're going to be talking about things that are pretty important, right? You're not going to be asking for their grocery list. You're not going to be saying, hey, we got any milk in the refrigerator? I mean, you just, at that point, let's just do it this way. If you are on your deathbed, you're not going to be asking, hey, how's the work plant going? How's things going? You don't care. What you're going to be talking about is stuff that's going to matter from that day forward. And Jesus begins to talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Acts 1 and 8, he says, go and wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And so this baptism in the Holy Spirit that God pours out upon us and gives to us, and it is a baptism. There's the baptism that we did last week, which is going under the water, but you can be baptized from above. Think about it this way. As the falls go over you, when you walk through a waterfall, you are inundated with water. It's the same way with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that comes from on high. Why is it needful for this baptism? Because Jesus said you're going to receive supernatural power. He said when you get this power, you're going to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He said you're going to receive this supernatural power, not only to witness, but you're going to receive that supernatural power to love people who sometimes are not very lovely. Anybody ever had those moments that you just went, come on, Jesus, help me right now because I need it, right? He said there's going to be supernatural power in how to live out this life and that we're going to use it daily, the power of the Spirit. In fact, if you study the book of Acts, you'll find that the apostles went out after that day of Pentecost, and the Bible says, and they turned their world upside down for God. But not only do you receive supernatural power, what you find is that when you receive that supernatural power, you will also receive a supernatural language. And that supernatural language does some very special things. And I want to take just a minute. I took some last week, but just real quickly again today, let me talk to you about it. The book of 1 Corinthians records what happens in those moments, okay? 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, says this: "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit that's within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." Now look what he says. "What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." See, the first thing that we receive and when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this supernatural language is that it provides understanding. Paul said, listen, when you're praying, it's going to be, you're not even going to understand it in the natural, but you're going to be praying what the Spirit is praying, and your spirit and God's spirit is going to be having that moment where God's just going to begin to download into your life things. I don't know about you, but I find myself a lot of times not having the answer. Anybody else? And yet what I know is that God always has the answer. And one of the things that happens through the power of the Holy Spirit is that God can give you the answer. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit." One of the things that happens when you receive that, that prayer language that God gives you is that there's now direct communication between you and God. Have you ever found yourself praying about things, and as you're praying about things, you find yourself asking for things you shouldn't be asking for? Like, come on, God, kill them. All right, Lord, don't really kill them, but could you just make them really sick? Right? You know, no, nobody. don't get mad. Actually, if you go read the Psalms, you'll find where David prayed those prayers. Lord, break their teeth. Now, think about that one. All right? Take them out, God. All right? But when you're praying in the Spirit, you don't pray those carnal prayers. It's praying that in direct communication as the Spirit of God works in you and through you. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says this: "Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church." The Bible says it this way, is that when you're praying in the Spirit, when you're using that prayer language that's given to you at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you're supernaturally built up. It encourages you, it strengthens you, it empowers you, it brings you to that place that you need. The last thing is found in 1 Corinthians 14:14, and it says this: "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." The last thing is that it activates your spirit. See, we are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. The part of you that's going to live forever, according to Scripture, is your spirit part. We all know the body's going to lay down one day. But what happens is that we have a tendency to live out of the natural instead of out of the Spirit. And the Word of God says that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not given, and I want everybody to hear this, it is not given so that you would speak in tongues. That is the sign of why it's given or how it's given, but it's not given so you would speak in tongues. It is given so that you can be encouraged, so you can be lifted up, so that you can be strengthened. So it's not a one-time happening in your life to go, oh, I got it, and praise God, I don't have it. No, it is given to you so that it can activate you on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you." Now, that's pretty important if the Apostle Paul said it. Now, I know anytime that I talk on this subject to you that there's always a little hesitation because people go, "Pastor, you really shouldn't talk about that because, you know, everybody doesn't understand. And Pastor, I went to a church and they said that was all of the devil and all this kind of stuff. Can you just for another few minutes, would you just give me the opportunity to help you to see what the Scripture says? Let's lay aside our preconceived ideas for a moment and let's see what the Word of God says. The book of Acts, the second chapter, says that on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 says that suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty when it filled the house where they were sitting. And it said there appeared diverse kinds of tongues begin to set upon them, and they began to speak in tongues and magnify God. And the Bible says that people from all over the city who were there celebrating, they're literally from all over the world, they come to this happening in this moment, and the Scripture says that they are astonished that they hear these unlearned fishermen speaking. in these languages. And the Bible says that they said, they were convicted and they said, what do we do? The Apostle Peter said, repent. Turn your life over to God, is what he's saying. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to say, for the promise is not just to you, it's to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Can I say to you there, the promise that he's talking about there is not the promise of salvation. He's talking about the promise of the Father. This is what he talks about over and over and over again in his ministry. Acts chapter 8 says that Philip goes to Samaria and he begins to preach the gospel, and people believe on Christ and they repent, and the Bible says that they were baptized. But as of yet, the scripture says, the Holy Spirit had not been poured out on any of them. We got a problem there. Because a lot of us were taught growing up that as soon as you committed your life to Christ, you got everything you need. And yet, Scripture said they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it goes on to say that after the apostles heard this, that they went down there, and when they got there, they laid hands on them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God lets us know that something powerful, miraculous took place, because there was a man called Simon the sorcerer who had used enchantments to wow the crowds, and he came to them and said, I'll pay you money to give me what you just did. And the Word of God says, Peter said, take your money and go to the devil. He said, you can't buy the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, we talked about last week in Cornelius' household. The scripture says that as Peter was preaching the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit came on them. And then a little bit later it says that we know that they received the Holy Spirit, that it came in them because we heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. And these same ones who received the Holy Spirit but had not been baptized, again, this is why baptism is important. They said, who can forbid water now that they have received the Holy Spirit? Can I give you one more? Acts chapter 19. I'm going to. I just want your permission. Acts chapter 19 says, Paul, seeing certain disciples of John the Baptist, said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believe? And they said, we don't know what you're talking about. And he said, well, how were you baptized? Now, let's back that train up for a moment. If all you need to do is believe, quiet. Campus has just got real nervous because I stopped. I thought the stream had stopped. The Word of God says, Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit since, after you believe? He said, we don't know what you're talking about. He said, well, how'd you get baptized? Again, baptism must be important. He said, well, we're baptized into John's baptism. He said, oh, that's a baptism under repentance. Scripture says you baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. The consistent happening. You say, well, what about the Apostle Paul? Scripture says the Holy Spirit came on him, but it didn't say anything happened. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Paul writes more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues than anybody else in Scripture. Paul talks more. In fact, Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. In fact, he writes in another place and says, forbid not to speak in tongues. People say, well, Pastor, he also said that tongues are going to cease. I know. But in the same verse, he said, knowledge is going to vanish away. I got more knowledge right here in my hand than anybody had 20 years ago. So don't tell me knowledge has vanished away. The next question is, why would God give an empowerment to the early church and take it away from the latter day church? Makes no sense. Ask a question again.
Ready?
How many of you say, Pastor, campuses as well, if God's got something for me, I want it. Would you hold your hand up? See, again, I think that's all of us. I think everybody would say, I want whatever it is that God has for me. So let's talk about how you receive your gift. How do you get your $10 from Daddy the next morning? First of all, you got to be born again, Scripture said. John 3:3 says, verily, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So I got to give my life to the Lord. I got to ask Him to forgive me. In just a few moments, I'm going to take all of us, something I very rarely do, but I'm going to take campuses as well as those here, and I'm going to lead you in a sinner's prayer to give you the opportunity, and I'm going to ask everybody to pray that prayer that means it today and say, God, come into my life, forgive me. And those of us who are saved, we're going to pray it all over again. Amen. Let's get saved all over again today. Second thing is, you've got to believe that the promise is for you. You got to believe Acts 2:39, it says, for the promise is for you, for your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Thirdly, you've got to desire your gift. You got to want it. I've had people tell me, well, Pastor, you just know, if God wants me to have it, right? He'll just give it to me, but I'm, you know, no. Let me prove that with one verse of Scripture. Everybody that believes that, let me help you for just a moment. Let me show you what God's will is. You ready? Here's God's will. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And yet every day people make decisions to walk through what God's will is, and to live lives that are antithetical to the call of God on their life. So God's not going to force you. The Bible says this, and Jesus on the last day of the feast, it said that He stood up with a loud voice. He said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. He said, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And then it says, by this He meant the Spirit. And it goes on to be even more identifying, whom those who believed in Him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Number four. I don't have three easy steps. I got five easy steps today. Number four, you got to ask for it. If you want it, you got to ask for it. Luke 11:13, Jesus talking one day says, if your son asks you for bread, would you give him a stone? And every good father goes, well, of course not. He said, if you ask you for meat, would you give him a scorpion? He said, well, of course not. Watch what Jesus said. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? It's that simple. Lord, You told me that in the morning I got $10 coming. Could I kindly please have my $10? Now here's the deal. There's not a one of us that would bypass the $10. And I'm talking to you about something that's worth a whole lot more than $10 for you. Lastly, to receive your prayer language, you've got to do the speaking. Acts 2:4 says, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Leave that up, please. Would you please look at what that says? Don't miss it. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Who did the speaking? They did. How? The Spirit enables. The Spirit comes on them. The Spirit comes on you and then you by your faith. In fact, let's say it this way. You'll sense the Spirit of God, but it'll be your faith and your obedience that will allow it to flow out of you. It's in that moment, and we're going to give every campus an opportunity here in a bit. In fact, let me just set it up for you. We're going to pray, and we're going to collect our cards, and then we're going to worship. And as we begin to worship, if you need to leave, I know I've gone a little long today. This will be the time for you to ease out, and we understand. But you say, you know what? Pastor, I want to be a part of this, or I want to receive this today. Then we're going to ask you to stay, and we're just going to begin to worship God. And then we're going to give you a few moments, and we're going to give you some instructions, and then you're going to receive your gift as you begin to worship God out of your heart, and as you transition into His words as the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, here's what I want to do today. Every campus, I want you to join me. I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you'll pray this prayer, and if you mean it from your heart, the Word of God says that if you'll believe and you'll confess, you'll be saved. And for those of you who have already made that decision, you've already made that, I would ask you today, let's pray this prayer together as a corporate body. And as I said earlier, let's all get saved all over again today, can we? Would you repeat this prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you today that Jesus Christ paid my price. Jesus, thank you that you died for my sins. I confess today that I have sinned and I have broken the Word of God. And I come today to receive the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that washes me and makes me whiter than snow. Today, I will walk with you. I will be obedient to you. And I will live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's thank God for that every place.